Good evening, everyone. Again, my Bible is open, where it's been all week as we began in Galatians chapter 6. Start with me in Galatians 6 and verse 9. We'll think tonight one more time about what it is to recharge ourselves so that we will not, Galatians 6 and verse 9, grow weary of doing good. Because Paul says we know that in due season we will reap if we do not give up. It has been such a joy for me to be with you this week. This is a wonderful, wonderful church, and every part of it just bristles with spiritual excitement and energy for the Lord. And I love seeing that from these young people here to our brothers and sisters in Christ in the deaf community. And I do apologize for preaching at 180 miles an hour and blowing up your interpreter. To each and every member being encouraging and warm and helpful, but especially to your shepherds here. Their passion for this church, their interest in what happens here, their care for your souls is just a model in every place. I must tell you, to be all honest, to be in all candor with you, that not every place receives the gospel like Douglas Hills. From time to time, Brother Earnhardt can tell you about this, Brother McCurry can tell you about this. You arrive in places where the spirit is weak and there's little interest and there's apathy and stagnation. Those are hard weeks for brothers. It's hard to be away from home and your family and your church in a place where it doesn't seem anybody's really interested. But there are places that make up for it. And I told Dina the other night on the phone, Douglas Hills is the kind of church that reminds me why I want to preach gospel meetings. I hope I've recharged you, but I want you to know you've recharged me. Let's be in the Word of God. This is in Luke, please, in Luke chapter 10. So many more things that I would love to say about you and about this church, about my relationship with Brother Paul and Brother Mark. Iron sharpens iron. These two men sharpen me so much. Could say lots of those things, but that's not what we're here for. Let's get our Bibles ready and let's be in the text of Scripture in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. In Luke 10 and verse 38, there Luke tells us, as they went on their way, Luke 10 and 38, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was much distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." I'm not sure there's a more 21st century text in the Bible. Here, what you have is controversy and a fair amount of snark. It is easy to see Martha hopping on social media to say, "Sister not helping me, I'm working like a dog by myself, hashtag sister fail." And while there's lots going on in the text about hospitality and about serving, mostly what catches our eye is verse 40, where it says Martha was busy serving, distracted. And what causes us to focus on that is the reality that verse 39 says Jesus was there. Martha, it's Jesus, the Savior of the world, the anointed Messiah of God. Jesus Christ is in your home. And Martha says, "I know, but I got to get this dinner ready." And it makes me think of our lives today. There is so much that we want to do that would enhance our walk with Christ and that would cause us to be better disciples and to press on in a better way. We would like to read our Bible regularly, but we are so busy. And we would most certainly like to make it to every service and be at Bible class ready to study. But there's so much on our plates. And we really need to be having some people in so we get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ better. But you know, we'll have to do that next week because this week is full with all the stuff with the gospel meeting. And what about that neighbor? I'm never going to be able to invite him to a gospel meeting if I don't even know his name. I need to meet him. But you know, this week is just full. We are like Martha. We are distracted with much serving. And none of that was helped by a global pandemic and the stress and the anxiety and the strain that all of that put on us. We've looked at so much this week. And I've put a lot on your to-do list. Prayer instead of worry. Working on your marriage. De-stressing. But I wonder if this series that puts so much on your to-do list will ever find its way to your to-done list. We are so busy. We are so full in all of the things that we must be about with much serving. As one fellow said, I feel like I'm honking at my own taillights. Ever feel that way? Have you ever felt like maybe something really great was going on in verse 39, but you were stuck with Martha in verse 40? I hope this week has recharged you. And I hope the things that we've talked about lead to greater spiritual energy in your soul. But I understand, and you understand, that recharging our walk with God and our commitment to discipleship is going to require more than just thinking about it in a Sunday to Wednesday series. We're going to have to do some things. And in order to do those things, we're going to have to get down to what matters most. And that may mean putting some other things aside as we focus. As we focus on Jesus Christ. That's precisely what I want to think about with you this evening. Keeping our focus on Jesus in a very distracting world. I want to share with you three, making it easier for you, brother. Really wonder what I'd do if it was 342. No, just three, brother. Three truths that Martha needed, and I need them too. I'll tell you right now. Some of these truths will cause you to nod your head and say, yeah, that's right. But I'm going to tell you right now, some of these truths we don't want to hear. Because sometimes we don't want to be Mary. Sometimes it's a lot easier to say, I'm too busy, I'm Martha. My good friend Wilson Adams wrote a wonderful piece in the digital magazine I edit, Pressing On Magazine. And he offered some ideas from Luke 10 that started me down this road. I'm going to build on what he wrote and extend it as we think about what it is in a very difficult time, in a very difficult world, in a distracting world, to be focused on Jesus. The first thing you need to know is if you get distracted from Jesus, those kinds of distractions are not going to satisfy you. That's not going to make life good and full and rich. Now, Martha gets a lot of heat here. Everybody's giving her static. But I mean, come on. If Jesus was coming to your house, yeah, wouldn't you want to get ready? Who wants to have Jesus come in and say, oh, let me get these pizza boxes off the couch? No, no, those really aren't four bags from Taco Bell. We hardly ever eat there. I'd want to spruce up a little bit. And wouldn't you want to kind of have something special? Hey, I didn't prepare anything. How do you... What about some mac and cheese, Lord? I could reheat yesterday's tuna spaghetti. I don't think any of us really want to treat Jesus that way. So I understand when it says that Martha wanted to do something nice for Jesus. Now we're thinking about that. Suddenly we realize, yeah, maybe what she's doing is not so bad after all. But the problem is, the problem with much serving is that it distracts us away and it just never has an end. When does enough ever get to be enough? You know what I'm talking about? We decide we're going to straighten up a little bit. And then the next thing you know, we need a little better decor here. And the better decor here makes that wall over here just look bland. So now I really need to get some pictures for that. And these pictures just show how dreary the whole room is. Could we get some better furniture? And that furniture needs better carpet underneath it. Now we got to repaint. Might as well just buy a whole new house because we need a bigger place anyway. That's kind of where that goes, doesn't it? We always want more. It's never going to be enough. At some point, Martha's got to let it go. She's got to be happy with whatever she had right then, right now, and pay attention to Jesus. But instead, she says, we need more of this and more of that, and I got to get to this. And we do exactly the same. We do exactly the same. I'm going to fix this, and I got to have that, and I want more. The human heart always wants more. Hold your place in Luke and turn to the wisdom of Solomon in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, as the wise man speaks to life and how we live life, he reveals this secret in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 8. There he says, in Ecclesiastes 1 and in verse 8, that all things are full of weariness and a man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing and the ear is not filled with hearing. We are never satisfied. We always want to get better. We always want to make it better. We ache with discontentment and it never goes away. So there's always more to do, more serving, more to chase, more distractions. You know why that is, don't you? There's a reason that we ache. There's a reason that we chase distractions. There's a reason why we feel that discontentment deep inside. It is because we were made for more. That's why those distractions will never fill us up. Because we were made for more. We were made for something that this world and what it offers cannot ever, ever satisfy. I show you that in Genesis, please, if you'll find Genesis chapter 2 in your Bible. At the very beginning of all things, please notice that you're in the front of your Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, there we're told in Genesis 2 and verse 9, that out of the ground, Genesis 2 and verse 9, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. That is what we ache for. And if you will turn to the end of your Bible now in Revelation, please, in Revelation chapter 22, the Bible begins by showing us that special tree that only God can open the way to. It symbolizes our life and relationship with our Maker. And the Bible ends in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. The angel showed me the river of the water of life. It was bright as crystal. It flowed from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And through the middle of the street of the city and on either side of the river was the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. That's what we long for. That's what we want. That's why we feel that discontentment inside. Because the ache of discontentment is the restlessness of a heart that's seeking after God. Maybe C.S. Lewis could say that better than I could. C.S. Lewis was a famous English author, and he understood the reason that we were discontented and tried to satisfy all that discontent with much serving and much distractions. He went to write that the world would never offer us enough, and he said this: it would seem that God finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures. We fool about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach, we are far too easily pleased. And I would add, we are far too easily distracted. And when we feel that this world isn't right, and I'm going to tweak it, and I'm going to make it better, and I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to have more, and then I'm going to do more, what we need to do is realize all of that is announcing loudly in our lives that I need God. Not more social, not more sports, not more decor, not more clothes. I need God. I need to want more. When I feel those distractions, I need to want God because distractions will never satisfy me. Which brings me back to Luke chapter 10, because all Martha needed to do was turn around. Jesus was right there. And if she had done that, what she would have found is that putting it off also doesn't satisfy. Putting it off won't make your life rich and full either. What is Martha saying in Luke 10 verse 39? She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. What is Martha saying to herself about that? You know what she's saying. I'd like to do that too. And what else is she saying? In a minute, I'm going to do that. But first, I got to take care of all this other stuff. In a minute, I'll get with the Lord. Martha's not foolish. It is Jesus. Everybody wants to be around Jesus. Just this other stuff is in the way. This other stuff's a little bit more important. In a minute, I'll do that. How often do you put off? How often have I been like Martha in verse 40, distracted by much serving? What happens there is that we are messing around with the trivial, with what really doesn't count, with what is not important. We're not really living. We are not living for what matters most. But what do we tell ourselves? How do we justify that? In a minute. In a minute, I'm going to do what counts. In a minute, I'll get to the things that really matter. You know how that sounds. When I retire, then, once I'm finished with my degree, then, when I'm married, then. Oh, this is so important. I have to do that first. After I get with this, then I'll work on that marriage stuff we talked about last night. In a minute, Lord. In a minute. Maybe right now it sounds like this. When this pandemic is over. When things get back to normal. Oh, when we don't have to wear all these masks. We're postponing. We're putting off. We pretend that we will get to the things that matter the very most. Later. So being distracted with much serving right now is okay because Jesus in a minute. And of course, don't you see? Jesus doesn't say, Martha, that's great. You just keep at it because I'll be back tomorrow and we could talk then. That is not what Jesus says at all, is it? Jesus says, Martha, you're missing it. You're anxious, verse 41. You're troubled about many things. This was the opportunity. Right here, right now. She was distracted by things that don't matter at all. Think about it. Jesus is constantly eating with people. In Luke's gospel, sometimes I think Luke was an American because he's always eating. There's just eating from start to finish in this gospel. Let me ask you this. What's Jesus eating? We don't know. There's no record of any of the meals, what was on the table when Jesus ate. The only time that we know what Jesus ate is at the Passover, and that's by necessary inference. What we do know, what is written down, what is important, is what Jesus said. At those meals. What he did when that woman came in and cried at his feet and dried his feet and her tears on his feet with her hair. What he said to that Pharisee. What the parables that he told. How he challenged people and saw their hearts. All the things that Jesus said and did and taught. That's what we know about. All the things Martha's missing. As she says to the Lord, in a minute. The meals don't matter. What mattered was Jesus was talking. Is it starting to make sense? Jesus was what was important. Not the distractions, not the trivial. The importance, verse 39. The trivial is verse 40. And if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, well, you probably should have listened better. But if you don't remember anything else from this sermon, I hope you'll remember that Jesus didn't say, in a minute is okay. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said you need to stop what you're doing and you need to be like your sister and you need to pay attention to the kingdom of God. And you know what you and I need to do? Even in the middle of a pandemic, we need to stop what we're doing and we need to quit putting off Jesus with just a minute and we need to pay attention to the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this in verse 33. In Matthew 6 and in verse 33, Jesus says there, in Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Somehow we need to grapple with that a little bit more. The idea of seeking first God's kingdom, the reign and rule of Jesus in our hearts, and doing that now, because the time is now. Life is never going to be perfect. We just talked about that. If you decide that you can't do Matthew 6:33 until all of the distractions have been taken care of, until all of the serving of the trivial is done, you'll never get there. So instead, Jesus says, do this first. This is what matters. Make sure you're glorifying the Lord now. Make certain that you're putting the kingdom first now. Do it now. Don't say in a minute. And maybe I should add here, when we read Matthew 6 and 33, and when Jesus gets up in our face with that kind of challenge, what we want to tell ourselves is that He is demanding some huge, impossible thing that's so ridiculously hard that I can excuse myself from not doing it. What Matthew 6:33 means is I have to become a missionary to some godless pagan country like New York. And I can't do that because... Did I just take a shot at New York? Yes, I did. And we want to say that I can't quit my job and I can't leave school and I can't do all of these terrible things that really I should be doing, all these powerful things that I should be doing. And so I'm exempt. But you know what Matthew 6:33 means? Matthew 6:33 means I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to go to work and I'm going to glorify God in my workplace. By refusing to gossip. By acting with integrity. By bringing a cheerful heart. By refusing to participate in the division and the vitriol and the venom that divides this country. Do you know what Matthew 6:33 means, young people? I'm going to school tomorrow and I'm going to be honest. And I'm not going to lie that I didn't do, that I did this homework when really I copied it off of someone else. That I'm going to have integrity in my relationships and I'm not going to backstab my friends. You know what Matthew 6:33 means in our home? That we're going to do that stuff we talked about with marriage, putting our spouses first. That we are going to open the Bible together and we're going to pray together as a family. That we're going to work on parenting so that we can teach our children to love God. That we're going to stop saying to Jesus, yeah, that's so important. And in a minute, I'm going to do it. Matthew 6:33 says we're doing it now. Because putting it off won't make life what we ought to be. And you really can glorify Christ in the simple things of life. That's what Mary was doing in Luke chapter 10. And that's what Martha missed. She just needed now. She needed the now. Do it now. Seize the opportunity. Stop waiting and stop saying, in a minute, Lord. Because the reality is distractions don't satisfy and putting off doesn't satisfy. There's only one thing that satisfies and that's putting Jesus first. If I could turn your Bible back to the text, if you'll turn your Bible back to the text one more time. Jesus says in verse 41, Luke 10 and 41. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. There's three giant keys in those two verses. I'm so amazed at how Jesus in just two sentences can say everything that we need in this stressful, difficult pandemic season. And I say again, He doesn't make excuses for Martha. He doesn't tell her it's okay. And He doesn't allow her to rationalize away what she's doing. What He says first and foremost is the way you're living is just going to make you anxious. Verse 41, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There it is. When we get all caught up in this world, in this life, even the good things in this life that are necessary, like our jobs and our families and our church relationships, when we get all caught up in that and we forget about Jesus, that just breeds discontentment and all kinds of worry. You know why? Because it's beyond our control. So much of that is beyond our control. We trick ourselves and say, we've got it all wired up. We've got it all fixed. We've got it all handled, but we don't. And sometimes life throws us a curveball to remind us of that. This is November. November is a special month for Dina and I. 11 years ago, this November, the phone rang, and the voice on the other end was an oncologist who told my wife that the test that she had had done, the mammogram and the remammogram, showed she had breast cancer. My girls came home for Thanksgiving, and we sat them down on the couch, and we told them their mother had cancer. We had just really started doing all that fun stuff that you get to do once you're empty nesters. And we were loving all of that. And we thought we had the world in a bottle with the stopper in our hand. Life was good. And we had it all figured out. We'd poured ourselves into the kids. And now it was just us. And we had all the time in the world to do all the things that we wanted to do. And then the phone rang. And in a heartbeat, we realized how little control we had and how much was out of our hands. Now, I should tell you, praise God, that Dina did chemo and radiation and the cancer is gone. There has never been a recurrence. It recedes in our rearview mirror further every day. And we celebrate 11 years of being cancer-free, giving all the honor to our great God who heard and answered so many prayers on our behalf. But there was a year there where our whole life was appointments and nausea and going to another appointment. And this appointment was canceled because we were too sick for this treatment. And blood clots and a trip to the emergency room and sickness in the middle of the night and long hours pacing the floor and lots of not knowing, and our schedules were torn to pieces and our life was utter chaos. And if we didn't learn anything else, we learned in a hurry we didn't have the world in a bottle. And if we ever did, somehow we dropped the stopper. We weren't in control. And the more we tried to control it, the more anxiety we had. Because there's so many things that are not subject to your control that you can't do anything about. And the more you try to tighten it down, and the more you try to fix it, and the more you try to control it, the further away from you it gets. So if you're like Martha, and you're just going to serve a little more, you will find very quickly that this business of believing I can make my world perfect or perfecter won't work. You just end up anxious and troubled. Which leads to the second truth, which is really only one thing that matters. Verse 42, one thing is necessary. It's so easy to misunderstand Jesus. Again, does Jesus mean to quit your job and go be a missionary? No. Does he mean you have to become a hermit, read your Bible all the time, check out of life? No, Jesus doesn't mean that at all. What Jesus does mean is that while there will be some serving and some things that are distracting, that are necessary to day-to-day life, they are not nearly as important as Jesus. Those things just don't matter as much. And thus, we cannot get caught up in them, and we cannot live for them. They don't matter, and they don't last, and they aren't eternal, and they don't count. So as a result of that, when we're done making all the excuses about why we can't, and why all this other stuff has to get done first, in the end, what we need to do is stop being anxious and troubled, get all of that other stuff, and put it behind Jesus and His kingdom. One thing is necessary. And sometimes that's going to mean direct conflict. Like with Mary, we're going to have to say sometimes, sorry, I'm sitting at Jesus' feet right now. And sometimes it's going to mean we rearrange some things. I'll get up a little earlier so I can read my Bible. I'll take a Bible to work so I can read it on my lunch hour. I'll take that Saturday shift so I can be at church on Sunday. Sometimes it's going to mean saying no. My plate is really full, and I would love to do that, but if I do that, something's going to get pushed off. Like my church family, or my physical family, or my time in prayer. But in everything, as we make all of these decisions, we always keep our eye on the one thing. We do what matters most. Which brings me to the last thing. Mary has chosen. I warned you. Part of this we won't like. And this is it. It's a choice. It's our choice. Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary is full. She's good. That's the power of focus. That's the power of doing what matters most. That's the power of putting first things first. What we want to believe is that life is happening to us, and we're just reacting with all of this stuff that we have to. We have no choice. Oh, I've got to. Right now, if I don't do this, Jesus says we're choosing. It's our decision. We're deciding how to live our life. We're deciding what we're focusing on. We're deciding what we think will fill life up and make it good. If you are anxious and you are distracted this evening, if you're chasing after much serving, what you need to do is look at your choices. Brother Gary Henry wrote recently, God is upstream of us. We will not drift to Him. Oh. If we are going to serve God and know that rich and full relationship that comes from knowing Him, it will be because we chose to row upstream. And our refusal to do that isn't our work's fault or our spouse's fault or school's fault or COVID's fault. It's because we just didn't choose. And sometimes people aren't going to understand why we stopped being distracted and sat down with Jesus. And sometimes people are going to get mad that we chose what matters most. And sometimes the people who chase all those distractions want to say that's the only way to live, and they don't get the one thing. But we choose the kingdom. We choose the King. That's focus. Choosing it, owning it, and being glad about it. You know, this text doesn't say that Jesus told Martha, it's okay. You know what else it doesn't say? Mary said to Martha, I'm so sorry, let me get up and help. Mary sat down, and Jesus says she chose the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Let me see if I can bring all of this into final focus with a word or two about baseball. My two daughters say that every sermon illustration for me ends in sports, and they only say that because it's probably true. Let me see if I can say, though, a word or two about focus from our friends in the baseball world. Baseball ended last night. It may be a little bit before you get to see this in action, but you'll remember. You just watch the next time. Maybe you're watching the highlights of the World Series. When you're watching baseball, you just watch what happens when a guy gets a hit. Maybe a double, laces the ball into the outfield, rounds first, gets to second. He can see he's going to get there. Maybe a quick little slide, and he's standing there on second base. Feeling great. Fist pumps. Guys in the dugout are yelling across the diamond, way to go, way to go. Maybe if there were some men on base, they'd come around and scored. Some guys have come out of the dugout. They're high-fiving them. Here's a line of guys. They're fist bumping, chest bumping. They're fired up. If it's a big game like we've just seen in the playoffs or in the World Series, maybe everybody came out of the dugout. The fans are screaming and yelling. It's really exciting. We scored some runs. That was an RBI double. Way to go, buddy, on second base. You're the man. He's pumping his fist and he's excited. But you watch. In everything he's doing, his foot remains on the base. He's excited. He's fired up. He wants to win. But the thing that matters the most is that he keeps his foot on the base, and he can't let all of his excitement and exuberance and his teammates and the fans and everything else distract him from what matters most. Keep your foot on the base. We've worked hard this week in the Word of God, and we've learned a lot, and the Scriptures have pushed us, and we've learned about anxiety and stress and prayer, and we've talked about our marriages. And we've talked about Paul's life and the patterns that he sets so that we can be more like him as he imitates Christ. In the morning series, we've talked about God and His goodness, trying to revamp our understanding of the Lord. All of this comes together and gives us a great opportunity as things begin to renew and some things begin to restart. And as we feel that new surge of energy in our sails, we begin to do again. But in all of that, keep your foot on the base. Don't lose your focus. And don't let the distractions of all the things that we can do again, as pandemic regulations are rolled back. Don't let the distractions of all the fun things that we want to be about that we missed out. Don't let the distractions of even the things that we can do with our family and with our church family, as all of this begins to taper off. Don't let that take your eye off Jesus Christ. Don't let it cause you to say, that's right, Jesus, that's great. We haven't been able to do so much of that. And in a minute we will. Keep your foot on the base. Keep your focus on Jesus. Seek His kingdom first. And do that first, and do that right now. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we're awed by Your Son, by His ability to so concisely say what matters, to cut to the heart of the matter. Father, we come before You confessing that sometimes we are like Martha. Our life is full. Our lives are so full of so many things. We get distracted. We think we can control everything and make life just so. And we lose our focus. We ask, Father, that You use this time when it was so clear that we are not in control, to renew in our hearts our understanding that we can't control everything, so we must serve You now. Help us to stop putting off Your kingdom. Help us to stop putting off what we need to do to be spiritually strong. Help us to stop putting off serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, Father, to seek the kingdom first. and to do it now. Because we are focused on your Son. He and He alone matters. In His name we pray. And amen. Well, if you had songbooks, you should get one. But since you don't, Brother Andy has one. Let's just get ready to put all of this in a tight, tight spot deep in our hearts. And to use the words of this song we sing to push us even a little further. Maybe you're right on that edge. You know you need to follow Jesus. You've thought about following Jesus. You've said in a minute to Jesus, this is your moment now to come and focus on the Lord and give Him your life. Maybe you know that you need to repent, brother or sister in Christ. And you've thought about it and it's stressing you and giving you anxiety and worry and depression. Now is the time. Now to lay that at Jesus' feet. And to get your brothers and sisters at Douglas Hills to rally to you in prayer and in encouragement. This song gives us the moments we need to make this our now. And to say, I don't care about that other stuff. I'm pushing that aside. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm focused on Jesus. I need Jesus now. Can we help you? Make your way down front now while we stand, while we sing.